Mainly Marvel, a series brought to you by Mainly Movies. Each week, Aaron, DJ, and a few special guests will go through every single movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in order to officially rank them all.
Hello, my name is DJ.
And I'm Aaron.
This is Mainly Marvel. Hopefully you've listened to the first episode. Today we're talking about The Incredible Hulk, though.
Yes, we are hitting every movie in the Marvel Universe. This is the second one. I think we just get into it.
Yeah, there's no point dilly-dallying around it. We all know this movie isn't great.
And we've got a lot of movies to get to, DJ. We can't be wasting time.
Yeah, so let's speed through this one. So to start off, we're going to read the plot synopsis according to Wikipedia for The Incredible Hulk. At Culver University in Virginia, General Thunderbolt Ross, Jesus, meets with Dr. Bruce Banner. Sorry.
This can be an interactive reading. I can laugh.
Yeah, it might be. Thunderbolt Ross. Oh, goodness. Meets with Dr. Bruce Banner, the colleague and boyfriend of his daughter, Betty, regarding an experiment that Ross claims is meant to make humans immune to gamma radiation. The experiment, part of a World War II-era super soldier program that Ross hopes to recreate, fails, and the exposure to gamma radiation causes Banner to transform into the Hulk for brief periods of time whenever his heart rate rises above 200 beats per minute. The Hulk destroys the lab, injuring or killing the people inside. Banner becomes a fugitive from the U.S. military, and Ross, in particular, wants to weaponize the Hulk.
5 years later, Banner works at a bottling factory in Rocinha, Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, while searching for a cure for his condition. On the internet, he collaborates with a colleague he knows only as Mr. Blue, and to whom he is Mr. Green. He is learning yoga techniques to help keep control, and is not transformed into the Hulk in 5 months. After Banner cuts his finger, a drop of his blood falls into a bottle and is eventually ingested by an elderly consumer in Milwaukee, played by Stan Lee, giving him gamma sickness. Using the bottle to track down Banner, Ross sends a special forces team led by Russian-born British Royal Marine Emil Blonsky to capture him. Banner transforms into the Hulk and defeats Blonsky's team. After Ross explains how Banner became the Hulk, Blonsky agrees to be injected with a small amount of similar serum, which gives him enhanced speed, strength, agility, and healing, but also begins to deform his skeleton and impair his judgment.
Banner returns to Culver University and reunites with Betty, who is dating psychiatrist Leonard Sampson. Banner is attacked a second time by Ross and Blonsky's forces, tipped off by the suspicious Sampson, causing him to again transform into the Hulk. The ensuing battle outside the university proves futile for Ross's forces, and they retreat, though Blonsky, whose sanity is faltering, attacks and mocks the Hulk. The Hulk seemingly kills Blonsky and flees with Betty. After the Hulk reverts to Banner, he and Betty go on the run, and Banner contacts Mr. Blue, who urges them to meet him in New York City. Mr. Blue is actually cellular biologist Dr. Samuel Stearns, who tells Banner he has developed a possible antidote to Banner's condition. After a successful test, he warns Banner that the antidote may only reverse each individual transformation. Stern reveals he has synthesized Banner's blood samples, which Banner sent from Brazil, into a large supply, with the intention of applying its limitless potential to medicine. Fearful of the Hulk's power falling into the military's hands, Banner wishes to destroy the blood sample.
Blonsky has survived the battle at Culver University and completely healed. He joins Ross's forces for a third attempt to take Banner into custody. They succeed, and Banner, along with Betty, are taken away in a helicopter. Blonsky, however, stays behind and orders Stearns to inject him with Banner's blood as he covets the Hulk's power. Stearns warns him that the combination of the super soldier formula and Banner's blood may cause him to become an, quote, abomination. Get it? But Blonsky insists. The experiment mutates Blonsky into a creature with size and strength surpassing that of the Hulk, but drives him insane. He attacks Stearns, who gets some of Banner's blood and a cut on his forehead, dun-dun-dun, causing him to begin mutating as well. Blonsky rampages through Harlem, realizing that the Hulk is the only one who could stop Blonsky. Banner convinces Ross to release him. He jumps from Ross's helicopter and transforms after hitting the ground. After a long and brutal battle through Harlem, the Hulk defeats Blonsky. Man, that's a lot. A lot of fight summarized in that one sentence. After having a peaceful moment with Betty, the Hulk flees New York.
A month later, Banner is in British Columbia. Instead of trying to suppress his transformation, he successfully transforms in a controlled manner. Tony Stark approaches Ross at a local bar and informs him a team is being put together.
Well, DJ, I got bored just reading that description.
It's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign at all. Okay, so a few thoughts. We read through about four paragraphs of plot there. The first entire paragraph all happened during the opening credits in a montage.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was that montage?
I took notes during this movie. And did you realize we got first-person perspective of the Hulk? Why?
Yes, I did. Going into like what we remember and don't remember about this movie, I don't remember hardly any of this movie.
You shouldn't, because it has no bearing on anything in the future. And, you know, we'll make fun of this movie, rightfully so. But I don't think it's necessarily terrible. I just think it's forgettable and kind of pointless at the end of the day.
Yeah, and definitely didn't stake its claim in the bigger arc of the MCU. Which I think is a lot of why, especially like having a completely different actor than what we have as the Hulk going forward, the story, don't really know if it actually ties to Mark Ruffalo Hulk's story. And so it's just like, I just don't really care. You know, Like I'm not invested in this character at all because I'm not going to see Edward Norton again.
Yeah, so I don't think either of us really remember too much about this going into it. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say I definitely saw it in theater. I don't remember that experience at all.
Same. And I probably enjoyed it in theaters.
Yeah, I think I remember certain, like, moments. Definitely don't remember larger plot points. I thought it was interesting the tie to the Super Soldier program and...
Mm-hmm.
Like Captain America, obviously, and all that stuff that I definitely didn't remember that tie-in at all. They didn't really focus on it that much. I kind of wish they had focused on it more, actually, but it just seems like this movie was not created with more movies or more Marvel in mind.
Are you sure? They definitely tried to set up Mr. Blue or whatever as something.
Maybe more Hulk movies tied to this, like a Hulk universe. But it didn't seem tied to another universe.
I get that.
I felt like this movie felt like more like the Spider-Man movies with Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire, or I don't want to say X-Men, but just like of that same style, I guess. Definitely. Felt like a movie where it was like, okay, we see these movies and we want to make Hulk in this style. Whereas I think Iron Man was completely different and kind of created this new style of movie, and that's what they stuck with.
I did remember one thing about this movie. I remember that when Bruce and Betty were making out and such, and then he said he... couldn't get too excited. I remember as a kid even being like, oh, that's not something I expected in my superhero movie about the Hulk. And it's not necessarily what I want to see.
Yeah, okay. The heart rate thing, I guess I didn't really remember that, but I don't want that to be the thing that turns him into the Hulk. And I'm glad...
His heart rate going up?
Yeah, I'm glad they got away from that in the other movies, because I don't want to constantly be thinking like, oh, is he at 160 beats per minute? Is he at 175 beats per minute? We're getting pretty close. Like, that got really annoying.
Yeah, I didn't really remember that was an aspect. So, yeah, I agree. I'm glad that didn't wasn't a through line that we're still seeing now. Okay, I feel like we've lost our sections because we were talking crap about
it. I think so, too. And I feel like this episode is just going to be piling on this movie and what we didn't like about it.
Well, let's pivot a little bit. What was your, like, Marvel scene in The Incredible Hulk?
I feel like there's really, like, two battles in this. And I feel like it's got to be one of those battles. So, to me, when you say we're going to watch The Incredible Hulk, for some reason I think of Edward Norton trapped in the overpass thing at the college. And they shoot the smoke in there. He transforms and he jumps out and kind of roars. And that's like the first time we like see in like full light the Hulk. So that's my scene.
I've got two scenes too. That's the one that I could remember beforehand before we watched the movie. Because that really is our first like daylight viewing of the Hulk. But then my second one, and this might be a little bit obscure, but it's pretty much right at the end of the movie. The Hulk like escapes from Abomination and does this clap that makes the shockwave go over the helicopter.
Yeah.
And now, first of all, those people would be dead. But second of all, I don't know why, but I think that clap is really cool. I think it's because there is this like PS2 Incredible Hulk video game and you could do a clap thing like that.
That's such a video game move.
Like, it really is. And I think I remember watching the movie and being like, we could do that in the game. So that's a little bit more obscure, but
yeah, and I feel like this movie definitely emphasized some of the more like comic booky things about Hulk. Maybe it is his heart rate in the comics. I don't really know the Hulk comics as well, but it seemed like they were trying to apply some certain rules to him that I just hadn't thought of as like Hulk rules. And I'm not sure. I don't really want to have like a bunch of Hulk rules. I really just want him to be like, he's mad or he's not, and when he's mad, he's really strong and uncontrollable.
Yeah, I think this proves that we don't need a solo Hulk movie. I think he is much stronger as a supporting character. Do you briefly want to talk about the minor characters? Like, real brief? I don't think. Because, I mean, these people just don't matter. Like, they...
For the most part, I want to hit on... You said we've got Dr. Samuel Stearns, who gets, at some point, some of the Hulk blood, like, in a little scar on his head, and it starts bubbling, and there's apparently a character called the Leader that he's supposed to turn into, and seems like it's kind of setting up he could be a villain in another Hulk movie or some other Marvel movie. They have not come back to him.
That's fine.
But, like Marvel producers have said, they could use him.
Though.
They could. Apparently, Abomination is not dead. He's just like in prison. Like, it definitely looked like he killed him.
He was like barely writhing around at the very end.
Yeah,
I think. But I just assume since we hadn't seen him.
Yeah. That... So I did see, and we'll get to the villain later. But I did see that Tim Roth has said he's done with the MCU. Which I guess we kind of have to have this discussion now, but is the villain Tim Roth or is the villain General Thunderbolt Ross?
They both suck.
They both suck. I guess Tim Roth has to be the villain because it's Hulk versus Abomination. That's the movie. But I didn't realize that this General, I'm not going to call him Thunderbolt, General Ross, he's the same general that comes back, I think, is it Civil War when he comes back in the MCU?
And he sucks there too.
I guess I didn't realize he had been in the Hulk. Like, I did not put those two together.
I knew that just because there are people who exist who are just like, see, it's all the same universe. It's great. And I don't care for that character in this movie or later on. So, yay connections, but...
Yeah, he seemed kind of weird. Ty Burrell was this psychiatrist Leonard guy that was like the love interest of Liv Tyler. Again, like you said, there's like this whole like weird love triangle rom-com side.
I don't even know if it's a triangle. Liv Tyler drops.
Yeah, it's not.
Ty Burrell.
Yeah,
he gets, immediately.
Yeah, he gets dropped real quick. But it's weird seeing Ty Burrell in there.
Yes, it is. I was not aware, or I didn't
that
remember
he's
that
in
he
the MCU.
In
yeah, didn't know.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler as Betty Ross. I feel like this is the quintessential example of, like, just some meaningless love interest that we are never... I don't know if it's just because the Hulk movie wasn't great, but we're never going to hear from Liv Tyler again.
No, definitely not.
And I don't think she did, like, a bad job, but like you said, the scenes between her and Edward Norton just felt like almost another movie of, like, a This Is Us together, like, having our own little thing. And then meanwhile, you've got this giant green monster that just doesn't, like, I don't know, it just didn't really fit together for me.
Yeah. Why are we obsessed with giving the Hulk a love interest? Is that the only, like, thing that we can think that brings him back from the brink of being...
Because they do that, you know, in later Hulk movies, too, with...
Yeah, it just... I didn't expect... Seeing this movie just reminded me how much of a through line it is to have the Hulk have a love interest. Yeah. Like, that seems... that it just seems like a cliche, like, that's his tie to coming back to normal. And I don't know if that's how it is in the comics or whatever. And, I mean, it's fine. It's just, you know, kind of stale after a while, really.
Yeah. I think that's about all the characters we have to hit. We do get the Tony Stark cameo at the end, which... There's the post-credit scene with Samuel L. Jackson in the first one. At some point, we have to talk about how Marvel basically created the post-credit scene and has popularized it to the point of, if you have any superhero or large franchise movie, people are now sitting in the seats, or at least they should be, until the very last of the credits has rolled.
I don't like it.
See, but in this movie, the post-credit scene came before the credits actually started.
Yes, and, you know, fast forward a few years later and we're doing gratuitous things in Guardians 2 where there's like five mid-credit scenes.
They're teasing and you an after sitting through. Scene. Yeah. They're breaking the fourth wall telling you you're dumb for sitting through the credits, basically.
Yeah, especially in, like, Spider-Man Homecoming. Why do I remember these? Man, my brain should be full of better things.
That's why we're doing a podcast series on it, DJ, so we can let it all out.
Yeah.
This is the last time, maybe, that we will ever have to watch The Incredible Hulk. I'm okay with that.
I am too.
Okay, so getting to the main character, the Hulk. Played by Edward Norton. So, we have this switch to Mark Ruffalo. And that's, like, obviously a huge part of this movie compared to the rest of the MCU movies. This is the biggest character change we have by far. Even with that, like, I didn't think Edward Norton was great.
I couldn't tell, honestly. I didn't think he was horrible. I thought he was just kind of fine, but I think it was more just the movie around him also wasn't great. So, and I mean, we'll get into this in a couple episodes, but I absolutely love the Hulk and Mark Ruffalo and the Avengers. So it's hard to compete with that. I just like how he played that character a little bit better in that later movie. So,
yeah. What did you think about, like, how the Hulk looks, I guess, like, in Hulk form? Because it's different than... I don't want to talk about the 2003 Hulk too much, but it's different from that one, and it's different than what Hulk looks like moving forward. Like, he's more, like, muscly, like, I don't know, he's got these weird horizontal lines, like, on his chest, I guess, like, muscle sinews and stuff.
Yeah, he's not as green.
Yeah, he's more, like, grayish green.
I think Mark Ruffalo does, facial, like, mapping for the Hulk now.
Yeah.
They definitely didn't do that in this movie, right?
I don't think so, because I noticed that, too, was, like, this Hulk doesn't really look like a hulked-out Edward Norton.
No, he did not look anything like Edward Norton, where you can pretty much tell, like, that's Mark Ruffalo playing the Hulk.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's part of my hesitation is, like, I don't think a hulked-out Edward Norton looks very intimidating. Like, I just don't think he can do it. And whereas, like, Mark Ruffalo, it kind of, like, translates well. It's just, like, I don't really see him as a guy that could turn into that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I also think later on in the MCU, they do a better job of, like, having this relationship, kind of, between the Hulk and Bruce Banner, and maybe that's he's just like come to know it better, but like this is like, I don't know, like they just are two completely different things, and he kind of acknowledges at some point, he's like, I want to get rid of it, I don't want to learn to control it or whatever. But I it just seems like there's this Edward Norton movie about Bruce Banner and Betty Ross, and then there's this Hulk movie where it's Hulk versus the General and Emil Blonsky, and they're two just completely different movies.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we've talked hero, we've talked villain.
Have we talked
our next section?
Emil Blonsky. We didn't really talk Abomination.
I'm trying to speed through this, man. I did not enjoy this movie.
I know you are, dude. But we gotta talk about Emil Blonsky and how
you. But before you watch this movie, could you have told me what like Emil Blonsky? Could you have told me his name?
Emil Blonsky? No, I could have told you Tim Roth was the villain in a very strangely cast role. I was reading about some of the decisions that Louis Leterrier, I don't know how to say his name, he's French, the director of this movie made. He like insisted that Tim Roth had to be this villain, and he thought it would just be a lot of fun to have like this Cockney British boy being the villain of a movie or something like that. And I'm like, why? Like, why did you have that thought? Like, I don't think it works very well.
No, he sucks.
Okay. And I could tell, like, he was trying. It's just, like, I don't, he just as a person just does not fit this role.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a scene, this is getting down to really stupid nitpicky details, but just an example of this movie, where him and General Ross are walking down this corridor. They're both wearing the same uniform, which I don't know if you're, like, a mercenary, if you now get like all the ranks and badges of the military you're joining. I would think you'd wear your own stuff. But they had this whole conversation about how he wants to get promoted to a general. I'm like, you're Russian, British, what? He didn't make sense as a character at all. Like, such a poorly written villain.
Yeah, he sucks.
Okay. I could spend time here. I can tell you don't want to, and you were in the right here.
Here's what I want to do. I want to speed through our sections like normal, and then we can have like a bonus complaint round at the end. Because I took so many notes for this stupid movie. I just don't want to put like nitpicky details in the middle when I know our audience has not gone back to rewatch this movie because there is no point.
Okay,
there's no good that could come out of watching this.
Was this genuinely a bad movie, or is it just really annoying because we're in the mindset of, oh, we're watching the MCU and we have to deal with this one?
Yes, that is what it is. It's not the fact that it's actually like the worst movie in the world, because it's not. It has some parts that are, you know, somewhat interesting. It's just that in the grand scheme of things, it's not. It matters less than zero in the scale of like MCU things. And not that every movie has to have like an Infinity Stone or something in it. I just don't think overall it was an enjoyment look into Bruce Banner as a character.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny to watch just because it's bad enough to laugh at sometimes.
Yeah. I would put it about on level with X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Okay. I think that's a
pretty good comparison, because that's like the disowned X-Men movie, right?
Yes.
That's the one no one wants to talk about. I feel like at the time I kind of enjoyed it because it had some like weird interesting things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them made any sense moving forward, and going back and watching it, it's kind of laughably bad. So that's a comparison I'm going to make. We're moving on. Impact on the MCU. Zero?
Absolutely zero.
You could.
You I mean, don't I'm need almost, to know that Thunderbolt Ross is a
yes,
person.
I'm almost surprised that Marvel considered that. I think it's just because they were trying to build up to Avengers and they like needed more movies for Phase 1, but I'm surprised they almost don't like disown this movie from the rest of the. Like, say this isn't canon to the MCU.
Yeah.
Because what would you lose by doing that? Other than if. They didn't have to bring back General Ross.
Arguably, they shouldn't have.
And I don't know if we get Hulk's intro in Avengers. I don't know how directly that ties to where we leave off in this movie.
You just know that Hulk is a thing and is...
And he's, like, on the run, out and about. Like, yeah. So I feel like you could just erase this movie from the MCU, and it wouldn't really change anything.
Yeah, but it also doesn't hurt it to stay, because when you've got 20 movies, and only one of them is clearly, like, the odd one out, that most people don't even remember it. It's 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, I guess now they can say, like, well, we're not perfect. Like... I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so impact on the MCU was none. As an individual movie, I think we'd say it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Not something I'm going to choose to watch probably ever again. Any other thoughts or tidbits or general grievances we want to air before we leave this movie once and for all?
I want to run through some of my notes at the very end after we've ranked it and recommended it.
I love that this is the movie you took.
Foregone conclusion.
I love that this is the one you took notes on.
Well, Aaron, we should talk about this. It was an ordeal for both of us to just watch this dang movie.
Yes.
We both rented it from different places. And then, I don't know what happened, but seemingly both of us separately just didn't finish in the time that we've allotted to rent it, using like online rental services. So then we had to find other ways to watch it.
Because I'm not going to rent Hulk twice.
No.
And it makes me so happy that the exact same thing happened to you, because I get about halfway through this movie and legitimately paused it in the middle of an action scene. Like, Hulk's like ripping and tearing stuff up, and I just paused it, and like, it wasn't quite time to go to bed. I was just done watching for the moment.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm not finished, but I am done.
Yeah. I was like, I've got better things to watch with my time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll get to it tomorrow, and then tomorrow came around, and apparently it was a 24-hour rental, so I didn't get to finish it that way, and I had to find another way to watch it, and that just made me more angry. Yeah, so what are some of the interesting notes you took for this movie, DJ?
Okay, so let's go through. So the first thing I pointed out was we got first-person Hulk. Why? That seems strange. There's way too much exposition in the credits, which I thought was strange.
Holy cow! Like, we so mentioned it. It was so... Half of, like, the most important part of the movie was in the credit, like, entire origin story, like, action scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And it wasn't like a straightforward, they're showing it to you. It's the first person thing thrown with all this, like, other, like, visual effects garbage going on. It's all tinted green. I really didn't like the intro.
Yeah, me neither, which really sets a tone for the rest of the movie. What else? I forgot about the whole IM thing, which does date this movie a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that this came out literally months after Iron Man did.
Yeah, somehow Iron Man avoided becoming completely culturally irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. If anything, becoming more culturally relevant with all the things going on in the Middle East and everything.
Yeah, they also have a scene later on where... Bruce Banner and what's her name, Betty, like, take everything out of their pockets and like throw it on the bed, and they're like, well, we can keep this and this can be tracked and this can't. And it was just like, a let's look at what we had in our pockets in 2008.
Yeah, they throw things on there that are clearly not electronic.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was supposed to be was it supposed to be funny, like, oh, he thought,
I
like
think so.
Wallets were gonna be trackable or something. Yeah, that was a weird scene.
Yeah, I remember that scene too. That was very strange. When they first start going after Bruce and they're going through the streets, I thought that they killed two dogs, but they just drank them. And I stopped and I made so many notes. I was like, wait, did they just kill two dogs? What are you doing? But they just tranked it.
Yeah. And so I thought the whole Brazil, like shooting in Brazil and everything just seemed like, I don't know why we needed to be in Brazil. It just seemed like a really expensive way to make this movie that didn't really like contribute to it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something where there's the scene where his like drop of blood goes down through the grate and like onto the conveyor belt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something that said it took the visual effects team a year to put that scene together.
Oh no.
I was like, what? Why?
Oh, that just makes me sad.
Like, why did you have to have that? Like, oh.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah. What else did you have?
Just that being Bruce sucks. They really highlight how sad he is. He's just wandering around in a foreign country naked.
Yeah.
Begging for money. And so, I was like, man, this is like a world-renowned scientist. This sucks.
Yeah, but with like the like opening montage thing and everything, I feel like I don't really know like what his life was like before that. Like we get nothing of what normal is for him. I don't know anything about him as a character. Like, I don't know. I just know that he likes Betty and that he wants to not be the Hulk.
What else? So they had a full-out, like, battle on a college campus.
Yes. Yes.
And first of all, what are you doing, Ari? Second of all, we both went to the same college. You could go anywhere at any point in time and there would be somebody running or just doing something. There was no one there until, like, the fight is almost over and then they pull out their old-timey cell phones and start taking pictures.
Yeah, like, two people managed to see that there were, like, eight Army Humvees on, like, the quad, like, the center of campus.
Yes, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, those Sonic Cannon things, like, would that work?
I don't know. I don't know what those were. Those were really dumb. I also thought, like, Hulk had, like, melee weapons for quite a bit of this
movie. Yeah, he kept weapons!
He kept, like, ripping off pieces of metal and having, like, shields and, like, things to punch people with. And I'm like, are his fists not enough?
Yeah, I was like, I think you're strong enough, bud. You're probably okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was strange.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. It's like they didn't know how to make him fight. So they were just like, ooh, makeshift weapons. That's fun.
Hmm.
What else? There's this really weird scene where Bruce sends an email to Mr. Blue, and then you like go into the internet and watch the email go through, and then it goes to like the army people. And I was like, hold on, we know how email works. What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, once again, just clearly dating itself. Oh.
But it does that in such stark ways that like Iron Man didn't. It's crazy.
Yeah, it just so many like clear decisions to do things a certain way where it seems like there's so many of these where it just seems like Iron Man and Hulk came to the same decision point and just went different ways, and Iron Man chose the right one every time and Hulk chose the wrong one
every time.
I don't think the CG in this movie was that good. It didn't hold up. I mean, I'm sure it was really good back then, but there's so much of it, and you can tell they're trying to, like, have, like, dark scenes and, like, not use as much. But Iron Man looked better, I thought.
Iron Man still looked great.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they probably had a tougher job here, but okay. Just a few more, I'll finish this up. Blonsky, at some point, one of the army guys asks how he's feeling, and he replies, like a monster.
Yes.
That is not dialogue that humans use. That is an alien from outer space. No person would say that. I'd be like, what kind of moon man are you talking about, like a monster? Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, they also, said, like, even in the Wikipedia description, like, what's his name? The doctor guy says, like, oh, if you do this, you'll become an abomination. It's like, nice.
Ooh.
nice. It's the tone of this movie. Like, it's not quippy like we had with Robert Downey Jr. So it seems very serious for most of the movie. And then you just get super cheesy, like, comic book jokes. And they just suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when Betty goes and buys him the giant purple pants.
Ugh, yeah.
And it's like, get it? Like, Hulk wears purple pants. Ha ha ha. We gotta finish this one up, DJ.
Okay, one last thing. The reason I think I hate Thunderbolt Ross is because in the last scene, when he's asking for refills for his drink, you know what word he says?
No.
Reload. That is...
If your nickname was Thunderbolt, though, of course you're gonna freaking reload your drinks. I'm Thunderbolt Ross. Oh, gosh.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. And that was just... I don't know why I took notes during this, but that was just a snippet.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you put
I'm glad I did.
into this movie. It did not deserve it. Okay, so we gotta rank the movie.
Well, I guess it's below Iron Man.
So we, in our first episode, we placed Iron Man on the ranking sheet. This is the first time where we get to rank something against Iron Man. If you can't tell from the rest of this episode, we weren't big fans of this one. It's going to go below Iron Man. So now we have Iron Man ahead of Incredible Hulk. This will get better as we add more movies to it. Pretty clear cut so far.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think The Incredible Hulk is going to stay towards the bottom of the list. Not necessarily because it's absolutely horrid or anything. I think it's just, in essence, the fact that it is meaningless.
Towards the bottom or the bottom? Like, I legitimately can't think of a movie we would put below this.
I'm trying to stay open-minded.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I don't know if open-minded is the right word for, like, wanting movies to be worse than The Incredible Hulk.
And I think it'll help getting some guests on here, people that have other opinions. Maybe we'll have someone who comes on here and wants to challenge us on our opinion of Hulk. I doubt it.
It is possible, yes.
Maybe. We'll see. Okay, well, that about does it for this one. Our last thing we do is we're going to recommend whether you should watch this movie in preparation for the new Avengers movie or not. This is a hard no from me.
Yes, a hard no from me as
okay.
well.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't pausing for suspense.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's Hulk. Hopefully we covered it enough so that you do not have to watch it out there, listener. We will be back next week with Iron Man 2.
And a special guest, right?
I believe so. We'll have to wait and see.